The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different.
Who
are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 174 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Ms. Evie Jonet.
Hi, friend.
What's going on, friend? How are you?
I'm wonderful. Wakanda forever.
Yes, I made the trip last Saturday, and yes.
It's a beautiful place, isn't it?
Right. I was forever changed. The most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so big ups to everybody for showing Black Panther some love and making it the, you know, best movie in the whole wide world 2 weeks in a row.
Yes.
Yes.
And, yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and Wakanda is so nice that they have influenced other areas to come visit us a little early, too.
Yes.
So we get to visit the people of Wakanda a little earlier instead of May. They'll be coming in April. Now, along with all the other Avengers. Along with Thanos, but we won't talk about that part because that part's sad. But
yeah, he's gonna thump somebody into the universe.
I feel like there is money to be made within our network if we take like a pool of like who you think gonna get got.
The elimination.
Like I got 5-1 Hawkeye. He don't got no superpowers. I don't have faith in him.
And we're joined tonight by our special guest, Mr. Anthony, aka Brooklyn Sun. What's going on?
Yo, what's up? Man. Not much. Just hearing the banter about Infinity Chamber, as I like to put it.
Shout out to Don Victor with his Infinity Rawcast Photoshop he did a couple of weeks ago. That was still one of the best ones he's done. So shout out to him. Yeah, thank you for being here tonight, man. Always glad to chop it up with you.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of wrestling and shenanigans that happened between Sunday and, I think, yesterday.
Yes, sir. So the WrestleCast is brought to you by CSPN. You can find us there each and every week at www.cspn.us. You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. You can also download and subscribe through any app on Apple or Android. So I think, what is that that y'all Apple people listen to? It's called a podcast player.
Podcast.
Or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, go there, subscribe, rate us, give us 5 stars, do all that stuff. So
didn't I say you Apple people though?
I'm
Apple strangers.
Yes, I'm definitely one of these people who
you
is.
Say- Your team Android.
Yes, I have a prejudice when it comes to my phones. So we're going to skip over the news portion this week because we got so much to talk about. Like Anthony said, at the top of the show. So we'll get right into the event on Sunday night. Thank you for everybody who came out to hashtag ChamberCast, shared their comments with color with the host and fans of the WrestleCast. So we start off with the pre-show, which hashtag say no to pre-shows. I know Dee Dee was not a participant for this.
Never will. You know how people are like, never Trump? I'm that, but I'm also never pre-show.
I stopped watching pre-shows.
I got to start taking some like photos, and so I can give you like the steals like back in the day when you had to wait till Monday.
Oh yeah, until you had to wait till Monday to see pictures, and you're like, really? But they give you the audio, so you get an idea of what happened.
Right. So we had the Good Brothers versus the Miz/Rush, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. Now, see, this is why I need you to be watching these type of things, because you miss the Miz/Rush coming out looking like the Lox.
Really?
They had on these gold shiny jackets.
Yes. So ethnic.
So Carl Anderson hits a desperation spine buster. Then Bo Dallas gets sent to the floor. And the Magic Killer finishes off Curtis Axel. And the Good Brothers get the win. Yeah. After the match, the Revival comment on the match saying that those kids have potential, but it wasn't their brand of tag team wrestling. So, yeah, you know, just some way to get Brothers and the Mr. Raj a paycheck and some royalties for being on the pay-per-view. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. Yeah.
No, get your money. Get your money.
Right. So now we get into Elimination Chamber proper. And we start off with the Raw Women's Championship Elimination Chamber match, where we have Bayley versus Mandy Rose versus Mickie James versus Sonya Deville versus Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss. Sonya Deville and Bayley start us off. Mandy Rose enters the chamber at number 3. Sasha then enters at number 4. Banks counters out of Mandy Rose's implant buster and applies the bank statement. Mandy Rose taps out, and she is the first woman eliminated from the match. Now, here's a good, bar bet that you can win. Mandy Rose, the first woman to be eliminated in both the first ever Women's Royal Rumble and Women's Elimination Chamber.
Was she?
Yes.
Damn, she's the first. That's embarrassing.
She's the first.
And Carmella would never.
she got the money in the bank right now, so.
She still has that. Like, when is the deadline on that?
There isn't.
The deadline is.
I mean, maybe the next time they come back around.
The next Money in the Bank, yeah.
Yeah. Or no.
What if there were just two briefcases? Like, oh, that's a good idea.
I think that contract, I think if they're still playing by the same rules, the Money in the Bank is null and void after. Has it been a year yet?
No.
All right, so she's still got some time to possibly.
So it's just a year.
Yeah, it has to be up to a year where she gets to. Where she gets a world championship opportunity. So, when was the last? When was Money in the Bank?
It was kind of in the fall time, so like September maybe.
September, October, November, December, January. She got time.
Yeah, she still got a few more months.
It was in June.
June? No. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit sooner than we think. Then.
Oh, sure, right around the corner.
Yeah, so she might have to cash in at.
She should do it at WrestleMania.
Yeah, she might have to cash in at Mania or Backlash.
If she was smart, she would do it after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because them women are going to be fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, fighting. Yeah, especially since now I got Ronda. And since we got Ronda.
We don't acknowledge that.
Oh, no, we're not acknowledging that?
Well, I should say I'm not. I'm sure Donald, the professional, will. But I ain't.
Yo, it's crazy about Ronda Rousey. Oh, man.
We'll get there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I got some.
You got thoughts?
Yeah, but when we get there,
Mickie James enters the chamber at number 5. Mickie James climbs on top of the pod and then hits a Thez press off of the pod to eliminate Sonya Deville. A bank statement followed by a belly-to-belly on Mickie James, and Mickie is eliminated. Bayley then hits the belly-to-belly to Sasha off the ropes, but Bliss rolls up Bayley for the pin. Now, before we get to this last part of the exchange here, this was during the time when they both were double-teaming Alexa Bliss, and then Sasha did the Lion King, where Bayley was climbing up, Bliss was hanging on, and Sasha offered her hand to help, you know, help her up to the top of the pod so they could continue double-teaming Alexa Bliss, and then Sasha kicked Bayley in the face.
Yeah, she pulled the German
so
iron.
So stupid.
Did you see the people on Twitter who actually said it to the Lion King?
It was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was iconic. Yeah. Right when Scar goes, "Long live the king," she stares out into the distance and smiles. It's great.
Yeah, she pulled the Jeremy Irons. Long live the king.
Still, wait until you get rid of the blonde. Your timing is shit.
Yeah. Sasha ain't got the best timing at all in these. Between the Royal Rumble.
So frustrating.
Between the chamber. She's not bright upstairs. Like, I don't know what it is.
So Alexa Bliss climbs the chamber onto a pod and hits the Twisted Bliss off of the pod. but Sasha locks on the bank statement and they roll back into the ring. Alexa Bliss escapes, but Sasha Banks cuts her off. Banks now climbs the ropes, but Bliss slams her head into the pod and hits a draping DDT on Sasha for the win. After the match, Bliss cuts a big babyface promo, and then she heals it up, turning on the crowd after doing some fake crying.
That some people on the hashtag seem to believe was real. You'll know what gender they were, because duh. Yeah.
I knew that was coming, because I'm like, yo, that is not Alexa Bliss coming all of a sudden in the face. I was like, yes. Rip these fans apart.
Yes.
Y'all will fall for a blonde any day, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa Bliss showing her toughness, retaining her title with no help. Clean in the middle, just as I predicted.
You predicted a win. I don't recall you talking about no clean in the middle.
Nah.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, okay? So next up, we have Dee Dee's faves, The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro, versus Titus O'Neil and Apollo in the Raw Tag Team Championship match. Sheamus counters a standing moonsault from Apollo with the knees, and Cesaro posts Titus, and then they chop block Apollo. They hit the double team white noise, and the champions retain their titles. So...
y'all thought because it was Black History Month.
Nah. Yeah. At the end of the day, Vince got to get his, so.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, we were going to maybe for one night see Titus worldwide finally reach their potential, but.
You know what I mean? Like, because, I mean, you know, the WWE sees that Titus is doing all this, you know, chatty work, so I figured, hey, you know, they might get thrown a bone going into a WrestleMania, and they're like, nah, we're gonna keep the bar. Although the bar ain't been doing it for me. I'm gonna be honest. I think
it's because they don't really have anybody to wrestle right now to push them.
Yeah, that's because I'm like I was watching the tag team match. I'm like, where's the Usos or the New Day at where they can give them a run for their money? That's sad.
Yeah. Next up, we have Asuka versus Nia Jax. Asuka locks on the armbar, but Nia Jax powers out and slams Asuka into the corner. Nia Jax gives us a monologue, allowing Asuka to hit a Hurricane Rana into her cradle to get the win. After the match, Nia attacks and tosses Asuka to the floor. Nia posts Asuka and then spears Asuka through the barricade. Backstage, Bliss comments on the match and is happy that Nia Jax beat down Asuka. Bliss then says no one is ready for Alexa.
That was corny. I was like, nah, you're gonna get your ass beat at WrestleMania. Leave that. Nah, that was corny. Like, she lost major points with me on that.
Where are you from?
I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah. I knew it. Okay.
But here's the whole thing that WWE has been so good at, and it's gonna be a swerve, bro. They haven't announced who she's wrestling yet. Every time she gets ready to say it, something happens. So we just assuming she's going to wrestle Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, they need to get a move on, because April's right around the corner.
Because what would be the hotness would be that everybody assumes it's going to be Alexa Bliss, but it's really Charlotte. And now Alexa Bliss has this thing where she's like... nobody wants to face me. And then that's when you get Nia slide in there and be like, it's my time.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah, Nia's going after. If it happens at Mania, Nia's winning that. Like, she's going to put homegirl through the ring. So.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, she's going to get all the hands. all the hands.
And the, oh boy, can't believe they made this match a part of the card. Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt.
Now, you talking about something that could have been on a pre-show.
That should have been on the pre-show. As a YouTube exclusive.
Bray Wyatt misses a top rope senton. But Bray Wyatt manages to counter the Twist of Fate. Matt then counters Sister Abigail. Matt hits Twist of Fate. And Matt Hardy gets the win. And Bray Wyatt does the job again.
That's because he got Josephina pregnant.
Oh, God. Yo, JoJo's
allegedly. Allegedly.
JoJo's Bad Business.
We not there yet, but she was up at Raw looking like Nia's little sister.
Yeah.
And JoJo's a little girl, so she ain't pregnant. She got a pituitary issue.
Yeah. But yeah, they should have saved that match for Money in that Raw. In fact, they didn't even need that match, to be honest.
No, not really. But, you know, that's a program that they've been building up, so they got to have a match. It needs to have some type of stipulation. They're just having straight matches between these two weirdos, and it's like they need to have something.
Yeah, like, oh, maybe we get the compound in New Orleans. Maybe. Who knows?
I don't know. But we'll see. So, Ronda comes out to sign her Raw contract. Kurt Angle arrives. He has the contract in hand. Triple H interacts with Stephanie to play nice and shake hands with Kurt Angle. Stephanie takes over and puts over signing Ronda Rousey. Triple H says they searched the earth for great athletes to sign, which is why they are signing Ronda Rousey. They haven't signed someone like Rousey since they signed Kurt Angle. Triple H runs down Rousey's accomplishments, and then they bring out Ronda. Stephanie welcomes Ronda, and then Ronda gets emotional as the fans chant for her. Ronda then thanks her hero, Roddy Piper, who is her inspiration, and Ronda wants to make him proud and earn the respect of the fans. Triple H makes sure she knows what she's signing, and Ronda says that she doesn't want to be treated any differently. Triple H says she will compete at WrestleMania, but not in a championship match. Ronda thanks him. Triple H and Angle kind of have a little bit of a disagreement off to the side, which catches Ronda's attention. Ronda asks if Angle has something to say. Then Angle puts over Triple H and Stephanie to bring her in because they wanted payback for WrestleMania 31. Angle stirs the pot, and Triple H says that this is all about Rousey. Triple H says Angle is sick and tries to get him up out of there. Stephanie kisses Rousey's ass and tries to make the deal official. Angle then says Stephanie called Rousey a has-been. Rousey then backs down Stephanie, and Triple H arrives to separate them. Rousey shoves Triple H out of the way, and then Ronda Rousey slams Triple H through the table. Steph gets in Ronda's face and slaps Ronda and talks shit. And then Steph runs away. Rousey signs the contract and drops it on Triple H's chest before storming out of the ring.
So they made the best out of an annoying situation. I will say that.
Yeah. See, here's the thing with Ronda, which is, I don't know how they're going to make her seem super tough, because Ronda, before she got to WWE, her last two fights in the UFC were not great. In fact, so when she fought in Australia against Holly Holm, she got her head kicked off. And I want to say a second or third round. And then her very last fight, she got beat to smithereens. So for her to come in WWE and then, you know, I mean, Hunter's gonna do his thing and try to put her over, but I wasn't buying that. I don't know. Like, maybe it's me. I don't
know. No, you're looking at it from the wrong direction. If you want to see somebody be super tough that comes from UFC, you need to watch NXT and watch Shayna Baszler, because the way that they're doing like her character, she's like super tough. No.
Yeah, I'd rather her character than Ronda's, because Shayna, like, because I watched Shayna coming up in MMA, and like Shayna's had her, she's had both fight, she's had, you know, despite her wins and losses, she always entertained the fans and maintained a super toughness. And then, you know, she trains with Josh Barnett, you know, who's a, you know, besides being a UFC heavyweight champ and, you know, pro wrestler, to see Josh Barnett lift with Shayna, I would have rather, if had Shane competed in the UFC, I would have rather made that switch and had Ronda go to NXT and had Shane signed due to the whole angle with Hunter and Steph. But that's just me, though. Because I can't, for me, because I watch a lot of MMA and knowing, you know, where Ronda's coming from, I don't know. Maybe they build her to be this tough chick. But for right now, I'm like,
no, the thing that she's going to do to get her over is she's going to put her hands on Stephanie. And nobody has ever gotten a chance to put their hands on Stephanie out of all the women. She gets to talk tough. None of the men can touch her. And all the women on the main roster never talk back when she talks that shit to them. And that's going to be the whole draw to Ronda Rousey getting her off the ground and running. Is she's going
like a Stone Cold Vince kind of thing.
Yeah, she's going to yank Steph's arm out of socket. And everybody gonna cheer it, and then whatever she do from there, it's gonna be on her own.
Yeah,
that's
gonna be a time. I remember a time when Stephanie ate some stunners
She did.
I remember a time. Like, I know we're in a you know, PC era. You can't, you know.
Yeah, but that was she was much lower on the totem pole than she is now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you look at where she stands now, you know, she's basically number two. You know, yeah. Triple H is technically behind her still, you know.
Yeah. You know, I think the only one to touch her is Roman. Yeah. Roman.
Oh yeah, that
was fine. Yeah, Seth bumped into her accidentally at Mania and put her through a table, but that was more of a, you know, circumstance than a deliberate act. So yeah, I think that's
I think he speared her. I'm not too sure.
Okay. But yep, so that, like you said, DD, they definitely made the most out of a rocky situation. Up until Kurt Angle started spilling that tea, it was a little shaky.
Oh, man.
She's awful on the mic. Terrible on the mic.
I think she was just nervous.
I do too, but if you're nervous, you don't need to be on the pay-per-view. Work that out. Work that out at NXT. Work that out on Raw. SmackDown. I'd rather see her than John Cena. You don't get to go to two, you know, pay-per-views in a row and then be like, oh, I'm so nervous on the mic. Well, sit your ass in the back and learn to do better then.
Yeah, and then what's crazy is that she's used to talking to big audiences. So I'm like, what's the problem? What was the problem with this?
But you got to remember, you can talk to a big audience, you can say whatever you want to say on UFC. You talk to this big audience in WWE, and you got like six lines of script that you got to remember, and you need to say it just like this.
Yeah.
So that's probably why she had the nerves, I think. But
oh well, take a few acting classes.
So we move on.
I honestly think she should have. Okay. She should have went to the NXT route. Mm-hmm. They should have built that out. They should have built that out at least like maybe a couple.
I feel
of
like
months,
there should have been a storyline about who was like the big MMA bitch, like who was the HNSC in regards to MMA girls, and then if you want to put your girl over, then have her come to Raw or SmackDown. You shouldn't just get to pop up on pay-per-views. That's just me. I know they're trying to use her fame. I don't like it.
And it's crazy because she don't, I'm going to say this, but she's not really hot on the streets no more.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why she's in WWE. It's kind of a two-way street. It's like, you know, we kind of been courting and flirting with you. You got to a point where now you need us, so let's make it work.
Yeah.
We're going to get you back hot in these streets. And, you know what I'm saying, it's going to benefit us this time and not UFC.
Yeah, especially with the supposed Fox deal with the whole WWE to Fox. Fox wants to buy WWE. So if this works out, you know, with Ronda and everything, who knows?
All right, so we move on to our main event, the Universal Championship number one contenders men's elimination chamber match. We have The Miz versus John Cena versus Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor versus Elias. So Miz, Balor, and Seth Rollins start us off. Cena enters the chamber fourth. Roman comes in fifth. Braun enters sixth. Braun power slams The Miz and eliminates him, and then Elias enters the match last. Elias gets power slammed by Braun, and Elias is done.
Aww.
Braun catches Cena's crossbody attempt and power slams him, and Cena is eliminated.
Bye-bye.
Rollins Bye-bye. Hits super kicks, but Braun cuts him off with the power slam, and Seth is eliminated.
Aww, that one made me sad.
Braun, Braun charges and crashes through a pod as Reigns sidesteps him. The Superman punch follows, and back in, Reigns hits another Superman punch. Reigns backs off, and this time the spear is countered. Reigns escapes the power slam, hits another Superman punch. Roman hits two more spears and gets the win. After the match, Braun lays out Reigns with a pair of power slams and the ring, and then he throws Roman through a pod.
Which made no sense. I'm like, he should have just done that in the match. But I get it, because you got to send fans home happy.
And you got to keep Braun looking strong. Got to give him some heat.
Yeah, just in case Lesnar wind up not making it to Mania.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's going on there. He's got to honor the contract or Vince will have a stroke. So that's going to happen somewhere, somehow. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I'm still 50-50 on what happened when we get to Monday Night Raw. I'll talk about that because I've kind of did some reading and I don't know. So we'll talk about that. But yeah, so all in all, before we move on from Elimination Chamber, DD, how many gummy bears would you give this one?
Out of 5, 3.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Because not much of what I wanted to happen actually happened. I wanted Sasha to win. I wanted Braun to win. I didn't want to watch Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, but if I had to, I don't know why Bray lost. So, yeah. And then, you know, I don't believe in Ronda, especially not to be signing a one-page contract at a pay-per-view. So, three gummies. Congratulations for winning this session of Who You Got.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I didn't tweet it, so I figured I'd at least say it on the on the podcast.
Anthony, your final thoughts on Elimination Chamber?
Oh man, they could have done away with the Braun Strowman with the Bray Wyatt match. Me personally, I would have rather both chamber matches have a bit more brutality because of past chamber matches. I understand, like, again, we're in the PG era, but they could have really had the women go a little bit above and beyond. Match of the night for me was Nia Jax versus Asuka. They really set the, that was a brutal match. That was how I thought both chamber matches, but I give it 3. I mean, both chamber matches were entertaining, some interesting things happened in the men's chamber, to leave it open. And I don't know. For me, the chamber's matches, the brutality of the chamber matches, were a bit dialed down, but other than that, I'll give it 3 out of 5.
All right. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty average show. I thought the women carried the show. I thought both women's matches, the Elimination Chamber match and Nia and Asuka, definitely were the strong points of the show for sure. And, the typical thing happened in the men's match that everybody, kind of saw happening. So, nothing there. But, they did make Braun look really good in the moments where he was out there crushing people. Did have everybody think for a second, maybe they might do something different. But, they stuck with their guns. So, they accomplished what they needed to. And, Alexa Bliss had a pretty good performance. So I was happy with it. So, I'm like DD, 3.5, 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
So next we move to Monday Night Raw, which hails from Anaheim, California. Alexa and Mickey come out. Alexa says that it's amazing to be her and to win the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber, and everybody will be talking about her for years. But she's not a selfish person, which brings her to Mickey. She puts over Mickey big time, and she knows that they've had their ups and downs, but she says that she's learned so much from her. Alexa then gives some backhanded compliments to Absolution and then says that Bayley is just a sad situation. Finally, Alexa says Banks cost herself the match due to her massive ego. Then she does the WrestleMania sign point and says in 6 weeks, she will end Asuka's streak. Asuka arrives and Bliss says that she knows she's not 100%. Bliss says Nia deserves to be in the title match and not Asuka. Bliss then does the slow, loud talking so Asuka can understand her. Nia arrives, and Asuka lays out Mickey and Alexa Bliss. Nia then takes down Asuka, but Asuka armbars Nia, and Bliss and Mickey make the save. Bayley and Banks arrive, and it's brawl time, which leads into the commercial break. So guess what happened after the commercial break? Dee Dee, do you know? Do you know?
What?
A 6 women's tag team match.
No way.
Out of these tag matches, y'all.
So we had Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Asuka versus Alexa Bliss, Mickey James, and Nia Jax. Alexa Bliss cheap shots Asuka, and as Banks looks for the tag, Bayley gives Sasha the T-Rex arms and drops to the floor. Asuka gets the tag and runs wild. Asuka gets the armbar on Mickey James, and Mickey taps out, and Banks, Bayley, and Asuka are your winners. Now, Dee Dee, since you are the official heel life and spokesman here.
Forever.
What did you think about Bayley leaving Sasha hanging?
That's not a heel move. It's what she deserves.
Oh, it's just a get back move.
It's just what you listen. Perchance Mufasa lived after he got kicked off that mountain and trampled by them wildebeest. It would have been very, I don't even know the word, but how dare you to look at Mufasa and be like, won't you help me? No,
Yeah, no, I won't. Like you can't
help yourself.
You can't throw a motherfucker off the cliff and then be like, yo, come help
you
me out.
You can't kick me off the mountain and think I'm going to pull you up. The answer is no. So that's not her life. That's just what she deserves. Now, I love Sasha. But she looks so shocked. Like, you just thought you were going to push your friend off the mountain. And shit was going to be sweet.
So, yeah, that was definitely a high point in the match. Another little notch along the way in the story between, you know, Sasha and Bayley, and who's going to turn heel. Because now it makes me think that, what if Sasha wasn't the one who turned and it was Bayley who all of a sudden got the attitude?
Bayley probably needs the attitude more than Sasha, but
she needs
I kind of want Sasha to be herself, and I just want Bayley to just not take her shit. But,
you know, that would work. Like, cut all the hugging shit out, cut all that friendly shit out, and like, all right, you know, cut all that.
I'd be like, I'm a hugger. Hug me. Not just be like, will you hug me? You know, be like, hug me. Like if she were from Brooklyn, you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Yeah.
Assertive.
I would
authoritative.
Authoritative.
Or maybe just ask ditch.
For the hug. Take the hug.
Whoa now. Yeah. Whoa.
What's consent? You know, it's just a hug.
Nah, screw the consent.
Listen, it's okay when you're a woman, you know. What's consent?
Yo, screw the consent.
Let me stop. I didn't say that. It's just a joke.
Because I don't want Sasha to turn to a Me Too victim.
DD Spade.
Yes.
Sad John Cena is here.
My favorite John Cena is the one who's like at home pretending to plan his wedding. That's my favorite John Cena. But this one is a close second.
Cena stares.
People talk too much when he's sad.
He stares sadly at the WrestleMania sign, but he doesn't point. He admits to failing at the Elimination Chamber, and he was demoralized. He goes through failure alone, and he knows where he is at. His back is against the wall. He felt sorry for himself for 5 minutes, and now he has to figure it out. He failed at the Rumble, and he failed at the Chamber. No one else will come to this ring and admit to failing. He owns his failure, but it has made him stronger, and he's fired up, and he's figured it out.
I'm annoyed by him. The fact that his promo is, I'm the best loser, I lose the best. Nobody loses like me. Like, nobody's as honest in my loss as I am. Shut up. Hate him.
He's going to do something he should have done a long time ago.
Retire?
Nope.
No. What?
He challenges no. The Undertaker. But he says he knows that match is not happening. He says he doesn't make the matches, and he has been told that it will not happen because it's impossible.
Why is it impossible?
Because the Undertaker retired?
No, correction. The big dog sent him on his way.
Home roasted.
That is at Brooklyn Sun on Twitter.
Later. It's my yard now.
So now his road to Mania goes through SmackDown because he's a free agent and he will show up at SmackDown to earn a spot.
Why is he allowed to be a free agent forever?
At WrestleMania.
What is this bullshit?
He's a man right now.
Why do you get to be a free agent? Well, who are you?
Yeah, he got special privileges. He's a 16-time champ.
Stay off my show.
Go on NXT.
I sound like a whole ass child. I'm sorry. Sitting up here pouting.
No, you bring some legitimate points. Like, what the hell is going on, Cena? Like, which, by the way, Tuesday had me pissed. Because, you get into it, but.
We'll get there, yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, we get Bray Wyatt versus Heath Slater. Wyatt works over both Slater and Rhino and then beats on Slater in the corner. He hits Sister Abigail on both Slater and Rhino and then calls out Matt Hardy. He says the Great War is far from over and they will face each other again. The Miz and the Mysterious arrive. Miz talks about being a great champion and in 62 days, he will be the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. Not Shawn Michaels, not Bret Hart, or Pedro Morales, him. Not Edge, not Chris Jericho, not Roman Reigns, just him. He's an even bigger star outside of WWE than in WWE.
Not really, but okay.
He then claims he should be main eventing Mania. He's sick of the disrespect and says his Mania dream will live on because he has the IC title. So he wants to know his WrestleMania opponent tonight. His opponent tonight may determine who he faces. So Miz rants and puts himself over, looking like he may explode. He promises he's going to beat whoever it is, and whoever it is Seth Rollins. So we get The Miz versus Seth Rollins. Axel trips up Rollins, but Rollins fights off The Miz Mirage and hits a suicide dive. Rollins then dumps Miz to the floor and hits another suicide dive onto the whole Miz Mirage. The ripcord knee and the high fly flow connects, and Seth Rollins wins. Post-match, Finn Balor arrives and Seth Rollins bails. So let's talk about this frog splash that CrossFit Jesus levitated across the ring.
The whole other side of the ring.
Yo, he's really becoming Mr. Monday Night for real. Like
Monday Night Raw.
Whoa. Rob Van Dam would like to have a word with you, sir. There's only one Mr. Monday Night.
I won't tell Rob Van Dam we can fight about it because CrossFit Jesus over there is putting on Monday Night extravaganza after extravaganza. So, you know, him and RVD gonna have to fight it out. You know.
yeah, he's definitely had two pretty memorable back-to-back weeks on Raw. Hopefully this leads to some bigger and better things for him coming up, because they're starting to let him, I guess he's about a year after 18 months after his knee surgery, and you can start to see that he's starting to get his old move set back, and they're starting to kind of let him do some of those old moves too. So he's starting to bring the athleticism back to his ring work.
Yeah.
So The Miz now wrestles Finn Balor. The Miz bails to the floor. Balor follows and hits the shotgun dropkick. Back in, Balor hits the sling blade and another shotgun dropkick. Balor heads up to the top and he hits the ultimate Kevin Sullivan foot stomp, and Finn Balor gets the win. Backstage, Seth Rollins is not impressed that Balor defeated a man he already defeated. Seth says that he wants The Miz at WrestleMania. Yeah, so The Miz, Seth Rollins basically said, hey, if Finn Balor wants to make a name for himself on Raw, he needs to go out there and do it for an hour and 5 minutes, not pick the bones of somebody that he already softened up. So that's pretty good promo for
him. Yeah, no, that was right on the nail. Couldn't make that better. And yeah, that was a pretty convenient move for Finn. Like, why would you go after The Miz after he got washed by Seth today? That looks a little fishy there. You know, you gotta look sketchy there.
But the cool thing was that it actually showed that The Miz can actually go a little bit too. He went about 30 minutes total between those two matches. So he got a little chance to show that, you know, his in-ring work is up to par with some of the guys that can really go.
Yeah.
Next up, we get Roman Reigns. He comes out.
He goes.
He says that he's the man to beat, Brock Lesnar. Then he says that Brock Lesnar isn't here. And he's an entitled punk who hides behind this contract. He said Brock was in Vegas last night, but he wasn't at the Elimination Chamber. He was out taking pictures with Dana White. Roman says no one will say it, but Lesnar only shows up when the money in the town is right. But Roman says he and the others on the roster are here all the time. He knows that this is a business, but there's a fine line between business and respect. And Roman says he has no respect for Lesnar, and he doesn't fear that bitch. He said he's done talking and will go to the back and take his ass showing like a real man because he respects this place. Now, Brock Lesnar was scheduled, promoted, and advertised to be at this show.
And he ain't show up.
And he wasn't there. So I don't know if he showed up late. I don't know if somebody had a bright idea to say, hey, you know what? We got to do a huge job to get people to cheer Roman. So, hey, here's what we can do. Make it seem like you're not here so he can come out here and talk this trash to everybody. Let's go through the internet and see what everybody thinks about you, Brock. Oh, yeah, you're a part-time player. You're not here every week. Okay, yeah, put that in a promo, Roman. Go say what you got to say. So I don't know. It seems like it might be a little 50-50.
Yeah.
It might be a little dark, a little shoot.
Yeah, because I was reading a couple of sites, and from what I was reading, it was WWE officials. One, they're not happy with Lesnar right now because he's trying to, instead of being a team player and ride this out up to Mania, he's trying to negotiate more money. So there's that problem. And then the other problem was that it was a legit concern because he really did not show, according to reports, he really didn't show up on Raw, period. So so once Roman got pissed, so and Vince gave him the green light to go out there and speak his mind. So so yeah, WWE and Lesnar in a rock in a hard place. So I don't know if he's going to make it to New Orleans, you know, because he's trying to get more money. I don't see WWE playing ball with Lesnar that much because they got Ronda now. So, but then again, they still got to make money off of WrestleMania. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, like Bruce Pritchard has always said, you know, it's live TV. If you can take the ass to him when you come to the back, then do what you do. Just make sure it's good. And Roman checked all the boxes on that one. That was probably his best promo that he's ever done. So,
yeah.
And Didi, they did that thing like they usually do in his matches where they boo him when he first comes out. But by the time he walked away, they were cheering. Yeah,
of course.
They was cheering.
They know they love Roman.
Yeah.
I was discussing on Twitter. Here's the only thing, the reason why Braun is more popular than Roman. Roman looks cool. But he doesn't ever do really anything cool. When's the last time he did anything cool? Like, think about it.
Sure.
This promo might have been the last thing, real recent thing he's done that would be considered had a cool factor to it. Whereas Braun does something cool damn near every week. If he's not breaking the ring with the Big Show, he's turning over an ambulance. He's, you know, coming out with a double bass. He's, you know what I'm saying? So the cool factor of Braun Strowman, there's something every week to draw you to come watch him. I wonder what Braun Strowman going to do this week. You know what I'm saying? Even if he didn't do anything but power slam people, it's still like, oh man, that was cool. I got what I came to see. Where with Roman, you know what I'm saying? They don't ever set him up where he can do something cool. Where, you know what I'm saying? Where he might just snap on somebody or something, you know?
Yeah. And to add to that, it's like when he does snap or whatever, then they pull him back in. I'm like, no, let the man... just lose his mind.
Right. So,
you know,
hopefully they can establish something around those, around that, where he can kind of do something out of the ordinary that, you know, that's cool, that we can be like, yeah, that was a standout moment for Roman. So next up, we get The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus versus Titus Worldwide, Titus and Apollo again, two out of three falls this time for the Raw Tag Team titles. Sheamus hits a bro kick after Titus is distracted by Cesaro in 17 seconds, and they win the first fall. So, Didi, here's our first chance to take a sip. So, Apollo heads up top as we start the second fall, but he gets cut off, and the champions hit the double team white noise, and they retain the titles. The Bar then cuts a post-match promo about their greatness and mocks all the people that they have taken out. They claim their dominance and say that there is no one left to beat. You know what was interesting about this? They talked about taking out Jason Jordan, and the people actually booed them. And I was like, well, golly, isn't that a switch from about 3 weeks ago when y'all was trying to cheer for the man being hurt? Way to have some dignity, Anaheim. Next up, Braun Strowman versus Elias. Elias tries to hide under the ring. Strowman pulls him out, and Elias uses a fire extinguisher for the DQ. Post-match, Strowman fights off Elias and chases him up the ramp. Strowman takes Elias to the announce table, but Elias rakes the eyes and runs for his life.
That's right.
Strowman runs after him, and a limo arrives. And Strowman yells, come back, because he isn't finished with Elias yet. Triple H and Stephanie arrive. Stephanie says that last night didn't go quite as planned, and she blames Kurt Angle for Rousey getting upset and acting inappropriately. Stephanie says that getting upset and acting like a savage is just Ronda calling back to her training, and that is why Stephanie slapped her, so that Rousey can understand that who is in charge. Stephanie says that she now owns Rousey since he signed her contract, and Stephanie wants an apology from Angle. Rousey arrives, and she's pissed. Angle calls her off and then says that Rousey coming to the WWE is the best decision she's ever made. Rousey says that she wants this badly, but she has never been slapped before and refuses to be disrespected. Ronda says she's no one's property. Angle says she needs to work within the system and that he needs this job. He says that he lied last night. Stephanie says that they are good people and they want to make Rousey a star. Rousey says if they want to put all of this behind them, Stephanie needs to apologize to her, and if she doesn't, she'll rip off Stephanie's arm. Stephanie apologizes, welcoming Rousey to WWE. And then right before they leave the ring, Triple H knocks out Angle and leaves Ronda Rousey to check on Kurt Angle. And that's how your Monday Night Raw ended.
Yeah, they punked Kurt Angle so much, and he takes it. And I'm like, yo, Kurt, what happened to you?
He had to pay for his biracial butterfly of a child.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they don't have insurance. That's out of pocket.
True. And Jason ain't making it no better.
You know? You gotta pay them bills off.
But damn, how you let...
Surgery is expensive.
How you let Hunter just straight up snuff you like that?
He was trying to play by the rules. He wasn't expecting that.
Because I'm like, well, if this was back in the day, Hunter would be grabbing his ankle.
I put on Twitter, at Kurt, at least it wasn't a sledgehammer. He got off easy.
Yeah. Now that's coming. The sledgehammer is coming.
So that was your Monday Night Raw. I thought that Ronda was a little bit better. She's stronger on the mic here. She didn't seem as nervous on Raw as she did on Elimination Chamber. I thought she did really good. I thought she did a lot better Monday night than she did at the pay-per-view. So, Didi, any comments you'd like to make before I turn it over to you for SmackDown?
No.
Okay. Well, at this time, we will turn it over to our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet.
Oh, my gosh. So, this week, they were at the Staples Center in L.A., and there was no intro. John Cena was there because he's always places he doesn't get invited to. And they say it's his first time there in 6 months, so... You know, I guess I shouldn't be too upset. He said he's in a good mood, and he said he was like 99.9% of the SmackDown roster trying to find his way to WrestleMania. I'm very sure there's more than 0.1 who knows how they're getting to WrestleMania. Your math's not quite right, but that's okay. He says Nakamura is the only one with a guaranteed match. He wanted to be in the Fatal 5-Way for the WWE title at Fastlane and wanted to know how he can make that happen. So Shane comes out, welcomes him to SmackDown, blah, blah, blah. He explains what it would mean if Cena wins. The crowd only cares about Rusev Day, because every day, Rusev Day. Shane reminds us that if Cena wins, he will become a 17-time champion, and will break his tie with Ric Flair. He calls SmackDown the land of opportunity, and Daniel Bryan interrupts. He shakes both men's hands. He says him and Shane are actually on the same page. He says every guy who was in the title match earned the opportunity, and Cena can do the same if he wins the main event tonight. So he's like, cool. Who's my opponent? And it is AJ Styles. And then we get Yes Chance. We go to commercial. We come back. The first match of the night is Baron Lee Corbin's versus Sami Zayn. Blah, 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 blah. Kevin is on commentary. He makes a crack about Corbin's hairline because everybody should. It's awful. Sammy backdrops Corbin over the barricade. Daniel and Shane are watching backstage. Shane questions Daniel over Kevin being on commentary. He says he's great at commentary. And Shane says, well, yeah, but he's probably going to interfere. He's like, nah, he wouldn't do that, which of course he would. But anyway, Sammy has Corbin in a headlock. There's a lot of backstage shit. So Shane's backstage after retrieving popcorn. And he's like, Kevin's been good on commentary. And then when Corbin falls to the outside, Kevin says, too bad he didn't twist his ankle. I like Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens is a hater, much like me.
Yeah, him being on the mic on commentary is always... So for some reason, I'm always laughing, although he's not joking.
He's serious, but it's funny. That's what makes it even funnier. Because he means it. It's hilarious.
That was the same secret to Stone Cold's success. That's what made him actually become who he was he was so good on the commentary that people started liking him doing it. And that's when they first actually started getting behind him, was because he just come out there and just talk about people and, you know, call people pieces of trash and talk about, well, see, that's the reason why he's a loser, because if Stone Cold Steve Austin was in there, I would have done that, and I would have been done with this match 30 seconds ago.
So, yeah. Oh. Sammy gets a two count on a tornado DDT. Ziggles appears, much like Randy Orton, out of nowhere, and kicks Kevin right in the back of the head as payback for last week. Zayn is, what? Distracted, and Corbin hits him with an end of days for the win. Afterwards, Ziggles jumps into the ring and hits Corbin with a zigzag. Backstage, Shane tells Brian that his boys got what was coming to them and suggested he go check on them. And Daniel says Shane seems to have everything under control and asks if he can go home to be with his wife and kid, which I guess they're at the hotel, or I don't know if he's going to like Maine or wherever he lives, Oregon, whatever. After a break, Sammy rants about what happened. They complain to Shane, who shows up still eating popcorn. He says maybe they should follow Daniel home and says that Brie hates it when they're late for dinner, basically calling them niggas his son.
You would have been so proud of Dolph Ziggler in this super kick. Man, he came from the blind side and he kicked Kevin Owens all upside the head.
Oh, wonderful. Man,
and they showed it up close too.
Beautiful. I hate it when my face fight, but I love it when Ziggler does good things. Because, you know. It's been rough for him. Anyway, next was Ruby versus Naomi. Oh, Naomi lost, so I don't really want to talk about it. But note that Naomi did slap Ruby directly in the face. But yeah, so blah, 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 blah. There's some kick attempts. There's a disaster kick. And she countered a bulldog and hit a riot kick for the clean win. That's what happened. On to things that are not so depressing.
Hold on.
If you want to talk about it, feel free.
Nebe came in with like a rainbow bob wig this week.
She did, yes. I saw the picture.
Yeah. I'm feeling it.
She's getting more. I'm just like, SmackDown needs to change something with the women's division in this feud.
They need a tag division because it's stupid. They need a tag division because every week they're in tag matches.
Yeah, I'm like, you might, something. Yeah, either do a tag team belt or like a trios belt or something, like Lucha Underground, something, because like these tag matches, they're getting pretty useless.
Well, they always were, but now they're getting useless and monotonous.
Yeah, like, I don't want to see Naomi taking L's every week.
This shit's getting annoying. But yeah.
Like, this shit is getting tiring. Plus, Carmella's sitting back there catering, you know, doing nothing. Like, I would think because she has the money in the bank, you know, she, you know, starts being like Edge or whatever. I don't know. Like, I just feel like the women's division on SmackDown, like, they're running in place. And despite the talent, I think Road Dogg or whoever's writing needs to like put some new life into these girls or just create tag titles.
I agree. So, next, Brizango are backstage looking at pictures of all the cases they've solved when Josh Duhamel, an actor, Fergie's ex-husband, you know Fergie, she's the one who sang the national anthem that way.
Which was trash.
You know her. So, he comes up. They're making jokes about him being on a show called Unsolved. He plugs the episode, which is about Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls. This leads to the New Day showing up, and Fandango thinks the show is about Biggie, not Biggie. Get it? So, they're disappointed to find out that Josh is not actually a detective. So, that's how that ends. So, the New Day come out for a promo. Biggie says that their rivalry with the Usos is hotter than his inner thighs during... Oh, wait a minute. Happy birthday to Biggie. Boom. Biggie says their rivalry was hotter than his inner thighs during the summer and winter, to which I say, same. He asks Kofi to spit his thighs. So he does. Sammy's continuing the promo, but Biggie keeps asking Kingston to spritz him again. How do you not love them? They say they would win titles and go on to WrestleMania. The Usos come out and remind the New Day what happened the last time they faced off. They said they used to be just like the New Day, dancing, looking like a box of Skittles. They said they've been working for 9 years to get to WrestleMania. Every year they've been sidelined, which sounds crazy. They said this year was their time. This year they were the starters. They are the all-stars. And the New Day is on the sidelines. Before they can finish, Biggie cuts them off. He says they hosted WrestleMania while the Usos hung out in catering. They didn't get there because of their daddies. Ooh. They took their spots instead of staying on the sidelines. He said they would take what belongs to the Usos and become five-time tag champs. and Uso slap the mic out of his hand, and they get in each other's faces. The Bludgeon Brothers interrupt and enter the ring with their malice. That was when I would have left. And that is when the Usos and New Day slowly back off.
Yo, they didn't, yeah. The Bludgeon Brothers, I felt like shouldn't have entered that, shouldn't entered in that at all. Like, they should have just stayed in the back and let the two teams squabble. But I get it. But, like, especially after Big E spazzed out, brought back the five, I was like, let them scrap it out. And then when the Bludgeon Brothers came, I was like, all right, I see where we're going with this. All right.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, go ahead, Dom. Go ahead.
When we started this podcast, there is no way you would have told me that the New Day would get washed by the Usos in a promo battle. But that's exactly what happened on this SmackDown right here. The Usos are like the greatest, like, 180 in wrestling, probably besides Cody.
Yeah.
Like, from where they were 2 years ago to where they are now, oh my goodness. I would have never been able to be like the Usos on the mic, outshining the New Day? Never.
It's crazy. But then again, I mean, they are always hanging out. Like, you know, so I could see them, you know, trade. It's that they got a heated rivalry going on. And it's crazy because it's like, ain't no other SmackDown tag team picking it up like they are, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, big ups to the New Day, 2017 El Dandy Award winner for Tag Team of the Year. So the people recognize their efforts and how far they've come as well. Okay, Didi, yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. They show Aiden and Rusev confronting Shane backstage from earlier. Aiden complains about the two of them being left off the show for the past few weeks. So Shane says that Aiden will have a match tonight. They say that it is against Nakamura. English looks at Rusev. He kind of just shrugs, which, hey. So Ziggles cuts a selfie promo, and I don't still know how we feel about that, where he claims he was the greatest athlete in WWE history, which is overselling it, and he would main event WrestleMania. So they're doing, like, you know, the thing with the graphics and whatnot. So Renee interviews Bobby Young. What? Bobby Roode. Renee Young interviews Bobby Roode. He was excited for his first ever match against Randy Orton. He wanted to be the greatest U.S. champion ever. And knows he has to go through people like All Lives, who doesn't appear to like him. And he thinks maybe it's because of the list. First of all, the only list that matters is Chris Jericho's list. But anyway, Orton shows up and said it's not the list, it's the title. He wants the U.S. title because it's the only one he hasn't held in 16 years and will run through Roode to take it. Boom. That's it. So next is Shinsuke versus Aiden, and Aiden sings a song about L.A., calling it smog-filled and bland, which, spot the lie. He takes a shot at Nakamura and says the fans don't deserve to celebrate Rusev Day. Nakamura wins with the Kinshasa. That's it. Although Aiden was winning, and he had some interference help with Rusev, or distractions, if you will, if you want to call it that, but then Nakamura makes a comeback and wins anyway. So Rusev looks sad or disappointed. We like Nakamura, but we like Rusev Day a little more. As he's leaving, Cena enters. He can't even give the man time to leave the damn ramp. That's not like that, dude. They have a stare down, and they both point at the WrestleMania sign because it means something. Did you have thoughts?
No.
Okay.
Just that Cena is selfish and he needs to relax. He's going to WrestleMania. He just needs to relax.
I agree. Next is John Cena versus WWE Champion AJ Styles, your main event. Owens and Sammy are watching backstage. Cena's in control. He hits a tornado DDT that is apparently very ugly. He ducks a clothesline and hits a five-knuckle shuffle. AJ counters for an AA attempt into a fireman's carry neckbreaker. Cena follows with a TKO, kind of, sort of, for two. And then AJ hits a rack bomb for two. Backstage, Baron Corbin is also watching the match. Cena hits a running clothesline for two. Then Cena charges at AJ, but AJ knocks him down with an enziguri. So back from commercial. Oh, no, during commercial. They're doing that thing where it's in the corner. AJ hits a Styles Clash for a near fall. John hits an AA for a near fall. After the break, AJ hits a big clothesline for two. He tries a lion salt. Cena moves and uses a code red for two. Then there's an STF. We go on and we go on. I'm skipping things. AJ dodged a charge from Cena, who crashed into the steel steps. The referee started to count out. AJ told him to stop, and he goes after Cena, gives him an AA through the table, John Cena did, and AJ barely makes it back into the ring to avoid the count out. John is shocked and goes after him, but AJ grabs him and applies the calf crusher. He slips out of it and hits another AA for the win. And now John Cena is in the Fastlane title match, which is now a six-pack challenge. After the match, Owens and Sammy come out. As Cena watches them enter, Baron jumps in from behind. Oh, look at that. That's wonderful. The three of them put the boots to Cena until Ziggler runs out for the save. Ziggler spins it off the three. When is Ziggler become a... I told y'all I didn't watch, so this is new to me. Ziggler spins it off the three heels instead with Cena and Styles. And then Ziggler clocks AJ with a punch, and then Cena gives Ziggler a quick AA and they go off the air. That's that.
Yeah, Cena, it's stressful because we're on the road to WrestleMania, and there's talk about them possibly getting a deal done with Ray, being that The Undertaker don't want to be at WrestleMania. And it's like, did we really have to put Cena in this six-pack challenge? Unless it's building to something. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of this, you know, woe is me, John Cena, got to find my way home to WrestleMania program. And I'm not really a fan. Yeah. It's not doing much for me. I'm getting sick of the multi-people title matches. I'm burnt out on those. So, you know, this really does nothing for me. This match was not as great as their pay-per-view matches, but still was a good match for TV. So,
yeah, I'm getting burnt. I'm getting real sick of these six-pack challenges because, you know what? Raw overused it. Now SmackDown thinks it's a good idea to go with it. I remember when these multi-man matches were like, they were big. They meant something. Now it's like, oh, it's the norm. And you know what? It's a good problem to have because, you know, WWE, you know, between Raw and SmackDown has deep rosters. The problem is, like, they really didn't need to throw Super Cena into this Fatal 5-Way. They really did.
Right.
But hey, I mean, hopefully it leads to something. If it don't lead to nothing at Fastlane, then, yeah, my opinion about six-pack challenge stands. So.
All right. At this time, I just want you to know that this episode of the WrestleCast is being brought to you by Funko. Funko is a place where you can go to get all your cool collectibles, and through CSPN.us, you can go there, click on the banner that says Keep Our Podcast Free, then scroll down to the Funko link and place your order. And when you go to check out, put in the offer code SHOP10 to get 10% off of your order. So CSPN.us and the Funko, do it today. We move on to NXT. We start off, we get highlights from last week's show featuring Johnny Gargano losing. And due to that, he's gone from NXT. It was a really good video package. Well done. Definitely probably the best storyline in all of American pro wrestling is Johnny Gargano and leaving NXT. So we start off with the Velveteen Dream versus Tyler Bate. They trade strikes and then collide heads for a double down. Velveteen Dream recovers, climbs up top, but he gets cut off. Bate follows him up, but then he gets crossed on the ropes. Bates falls to the mat, and the Velveteen Dream finishes him with the Purple Rainmaker elbow drop to get the win. This was a very good match. This is telling a story of Tyler Bate going through a little losing streak. And now he's lost, I think, three matches in a row. Velveteen Dream is ascending. He's recovering after his loss at TakeOver to Aleister Black. It just keeps getting better and better every week. Next up, Paul Ellering cuts a promo and says that the Authors of Pain will win the Dusty Classic and get back their tag team titles. Our next match is Adam Cole, baby, versus Cesar Bonini. Bonini fires back, taking out Fish and O'Reilly, and then hitting a Michinoku driver on Cole for a two count. Fish distracts Bonini. Cole then hits the super kick and follows with the running knee to get the win. Post-match, Undisputed Era beat down Cesar Bonini. Then we get a really good Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler video package. The Street Profits return with Street Talk, discussing the Dusty Classic. And then we get Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler. Sane is all fired up and hits the sliding D in the corner. Kairi follows with a clothesline off the top, covering for a two. Kairi hits a spinning back fist and she heads up top, but she gets crushed. And Baszler, locks in the rear naked choke and Kairi Sane taps out. I really wanted you to watch this episode just because of this match. I didn't know how it was going to end.
I'm glad I didn't watch that.
After that match, Baszler calls out Ember Moon and says when they meet, she'll either leave with Ember's title or she'll leave with a limp.
Okay.
We get our main event spot. We get a promo from Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega puts over Almas as the greatest NXT champion in company history. Vega then mocks the fans for thinking Gargano could win. But all poor Johnny could do was go 0-4. Almas doesn't care about earning respect. He earns money and championships.
Oh, my baby.
Almas then runs down Johnny, saying he kept coming and he kept losing. Almas mocks Johnny by calling him Johnny Jobless. Selena and Cien Almas look to leave, but Aleister Black arrives. Black stares down Almas, and then Killian Dane arrives. Killian Dane and Aleister Black begin to brawl as Cien Almas watches on. Killian Dane wipes out Black with the divide, and Almas leaves with Selena Vega, while Killian Dane stands in the ring, standing tall over Aleister Black. Zelina Vega is the second best women's talker in the whole company behind Alexa Bliss. And she's not that far behind Alexa Bliss. Zelina Vega.
Who?
Man.
Oh, yeah. Yo, by far. Yo, so good. I was like, let her be my manager. Fuck it.
She said, unlike most women who she's not like most women who feed off their man's success. She created it.
Ooh.
That's that ether. Yeah, that's that ether.
Yeah. I felt that shit. I was like, shit, you sure she? Damn.
Yeah, she's so good. So, yeah, this was a pretty decent NXT. Nothing really major happened except for that last little main event part where they had the angle where, you know, Aleister Black made it known a couple of weeks ago that he's got his eyes set on the title. Killian Dane said, you know, you got to go through me first, big boy, because, you know, I want the title too. And so they kind of, you know, are playing that out. And Cien Almas gets to stand back and watch these two dudes kill each other. And then, you know, I guess he'll have a match once they figure it out. So,
yeah.
Good little piece of business right there at the end. Our last review of the night will be 205 Live. We're still in the midst of the Cruiserweight tournament to determine the new champion at WrestleMania. So this week we have Cedric Alexander versus TJP. Dee Dee, what's your gimmick?
I am a grown-ass woman.
That's right. Cedric Alexander and TJP cut pre-match promos, both claiming that they will win and move on to Mania to win the Cruiserweight title. TJP hits a flying forearm and transitions into the knee bar. Alexander fights, and he makes the ropes. They trade strikes back and forth. TJP attacks the knee with kicks, but Alexander hits a desperation lumbar check, and Cedric Alexander gets the win. This match was a little bit long. They went like 20 minutes, and they kind of, you know, wrestled that way. Like, they were going to go 20 minutes, so the pace was a little slow. Definitely, I've seen them have, you know, better matches on early editions of 205. I was actually expecting a lot from this match and really didn't get it. So I was a little disappointed. Drake Maverick, he recently spoke with WWE.com about his vision for 205 Live. He's there to steer these athletes in the right direction and get things back on track. Mustafa Ali comments on fighting through so that he can get his chance to fight for the title at Mania. Buddy Murphy also comments and says that he's been waiting for this match and promises a brutal match for Ali. Then we get our second match of the night. We get Roderick Strong versus Kalisto. Kalisto hits an enziguri and then hits what looked like a Michinoku driver off the ropes for two. Kalisto follows with right hand and then hits kicks, but Strong cuts off the Salida del Sol into the end of heartache, and Roderick Strong gets the win and moves on. This might have been the best match of all of Tuesday night. This match was really good. Roderick Strong and Kalisto had a hell of a match. Kalisto actually has been showing a lot of promise in the new 205 Live the past 3 weeks. He's had some really good matches, and this was another one. Roderick Strong versus Cedric Alexander could be a classic. in a couple of weeks. So we'll see how that works out. So next week, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying like Roderick Strong and Cedric Alexander, I think that's going to be like the all time classic before we head to the championship final at WrestleMania. Like, I guarantee they're going to tear the house down.
Right. Right. So next week we have Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali. We also have Drew Gulak versus Mark Andrews. So those will be your two matches next week as we're getting closer to the semifinals. So that was this past week in WWE. So I did hear one little piece of news right fast that during WrestleMania weekend that Lucha Underground and Impact will be basically having a joint show together. And they will be broadcasting it live on Impact's Twitch channel. So that should be pretty cool.
Wow. Holy shit. Yeah, that'll be tight. Did they put out any information on who's going to be on the card?
No, they haven't announced any matches or anything like that. A match that did get announced, though, is that when New Japan comes back to Long Beach here in March, near the end of March, the main event will be the Golden Lovers, Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega, versus the Young Bucks.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so if you guys aren't following New Japan, get into it, man. It is like really about to be a really cool summer and spring because the Bullet Club is in disarray. Kenny Omega and Kota and Cody Rhodes are basically on the collision course for WrestleMania weekend at the big ROH show that's going to take place that weekend. And it's causing dissension amongst the Bullet Club. And Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega are back together as a tag team. Yeah, there's just a whole bunch of good stuff going on in New Japan right now. So check that out.
Jushin Liger on that same, I think, the Long Beach, Jushin Liger is supposed to be battling Rey Mysterio also. So.
Right. So yeah. So they're gonna be loading up this Long Beach card, and more matches will be, you know, getting announced as the weeks go by. So they're looking to do. They're in a bigger arena. They sold it out again. So they're gonna have their LA dojo, I think, up and running by next year. So New Japan is slowly making their way over, and they're starting to get a foothold a little bit. I think the Chris Jericho thing definitely helped them a lot, and now they've taken that momentum and they've started to capitalize on it. So. Like I said, just, you know, stay abreast with check the hashtag Cast a Strong Style, and Miyamoto will be recording a new episode really soon to get everybody caught up on all the events that took place in February. So that's all I got as far as like other wrestling news. So at this point, I'll open it up to our guest, Mr. Anthony, a.k.a. at Brooklyn Sun on Twitter, for your shout outs and thank yous.
First of all, shout out to you guys for bringing me back on here. There was a lot that happened this week in wrestling, hopefully leading to some good programs going into WrestleMania, New Japan, and ROH. It's been a petty week for especially in WWE. It's been a petty and a good week. You know, we got Roman Reigns to finally get over that promo hump. Hopefully he continues it on. You know, SmackDown needs to get this shit together. Other than that, again, shout out to y'all for bringing me back on here so we can chop it up about wrestling.
Thank you for being able to join us, man. We definitely enjoy having you on. So next up, Ms. Didi Jonet, for your shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to our guest. Shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to the chairman. Shout out to Wakanda forever. Shout out to the day off I had today that didn't feel like a day off, but that's okay. And yeah, shout out to all my ladies of Glow, and that's it.
All right. I'd like to thank our guest, Anthony, a.k.a. Brooklyn Sun, for joining us. I'd like to thank my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet. I'd like to thank Sam and Greg out there in the world doing their best. I'd like to thank Jamal for all the work he's going to do post-production. Also, give a shout-out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout-outs. I'd like to give a special shout-out to everybody who showed up in the Rawcast live tweet this week. Hey, y'all, we was trending for a few minutes there on Monday night. So that was really cool. That's always been kind of my dream, is to show up on the What's Trending. And, classic, we made it. So, again, thank you to everybody who showed up for the Rawcast. Couldn't have done it without y'all. Also, everybody who showed up for SmackDown Matters and Chambercast. We appreciate all the tweets and the interaction this weekend. It's a fun weekend of wrestling. And you guys always make it a lot more enjoyable with y'all's thoughts and gifts and memes and everything. So, just, you know, we're very blessed to have such a large community, and hopefully it continues to grow. And each and every week we get, you know, pick up some new people that discover the live tweet. And, you know, they so far so good. We haven't had to kick anybody out. So, you know, we'll hopefully keep that streak up. So, again, thank you all for making the Rawcast live tweet trend this week. And on that note, for our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet, for our special guest, Anthony, a.k.a. at Brooklyn Sun, I'm Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 174 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
You guys want to know the truth? They're not going to like it back there, but I'm going to say it anyways. Brock Lesnar's not here tonight. Up until about 30 minutes ago, I thought Brock was going to be here, but something happened or the other, and he didn't show. And nobody will say this back there, but I'm going to say it. Brock Lesnar is an entitled piece of crap who hides behind his contract. We are 6 weeks from WrestleMania, and the Universal Champion is not here today. We were in Vegas last night. Brock was in Vegas. He wasn't at the Elimination Chamber. Guess where he was? He was running around the strip taking pictures with Dana White, the UFC, on social media. You want to know why? Because he doesn't respect me. He doesn't respect any of you. And he doesn't respect anybody in that locker room. And I'm sick of it. We're all sick of it. They all know it back there. We all know it. Every single week, me and them boys run across this world and we bust our ass. And Brock just shows up whenever he wants to, when the money's right or the city's right. But we don't care. It doesn't matter how many people show up, how big the town is, I'll be there. Because I said I'll be there. Brock and Paul, don't worry, they're gonna come out here and say, we're businessmen. Well, guess what? I was born in this business. My family and my bloodline is this business. And I was taught at an early age that there's a fine line between business and respect. And I say this right now, I don't respect Brock Lesnar. And I damn sure don't fear that. I think I've said enough now. I'm gonna go and head to the back, take my ass chewing like a man, because unlike some people, I actually care and respect this place.